Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans and fantasy football owners. You are now tuned in to the Week 13 edition of the Extra Points, the fantasy football show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions. And you know what? It's that time of year. We're heading into Week 13. Seems like fantasy football training camp back in July was just yesterday, and here we are now approaching 13 weeks later. And this is it, ladies and gentlemen. Next couple weeks, these championships are going to be decided, and I know that everybody has to be excited about the prospects that lie in hand. It's been such a crazy season. I'd imagine that, you know, 70% of people should have a shot right now, even if it means them winning and needing help to get in. I would assume that I've seen a lot of leagues, and things look to be pretty balanced across the board. You know, you obviously have some teams that are kind of, you know, at this point, they're out of it due to their record. But I would say that 70% of owners, you know, have a legitimate shot if things fall their way. A lot of owners control their own destiny. They have an opportunity with the win to stamp their own ticket in. And so, man, this is an exciting time of year. And as always, got a great show lined up for you today. We'll be referencing the NFLExporter.com website. The fantasy football page for a lot of the content that we go through for the show. Tonight, week 13 gets started, and the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy and James Jones and Randall Cobb and Matt Stafford and Megatron Johnson will have a lot to say about how these playoffs, or I should say how this last week of the regular season gets started. Now, there are leagues that there are 14 weeks, so next week will be the last week for them. There are some leagues that play all the way through, but I'd say about 75% of the leagues do have a first-round bye for the division winners or maybe the top two records. And the wild card games start this week with leagues ending in week 16. For those leagues that go on to week 17, those are your leagues that you see ending in week 14. And so nonetheless, right now, everybody needs to be in the mind frame of getting W's moving forward, especially after next week. And so we're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the show started. We're live from Dave & Buster's in Los Angeles, California. Make sure when you get off work or if you're looking for some fun tonight here in Los Angeles, the address is 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, 90045. Come down and join us. Fantasy experience. Once again, you're listening to the Extra Points NFL Exporter. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll jump into the Week 13 edition of the Extra Points. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points. Once again, NFL Exporter in the building, and we're getting ready for week 13. We got Green Bay and Detroit tonight, and that's where we're going to start this segment. We're going to go ahead and run through these week 13 matchups on the lighter side of things. A lot of the content that we'll be covering today from the NFL Exporter website, the fantasy football page, is going to encompass these players as well. And so things get started tonight. And we're talking about Green Bay and Detroit. And, you know, that's certainly a game that there's some guys going tonight. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Matt Stafford, and Calvin Megatron Johnson. I would strongly assume that those guys are in there. I think James Jones could be the only one that you're maybe looking the other way on, as well as possibly Randall Cobb, if you have some better options. We know that the waiver wire is always friendly. By now, everyone has done some willing and dealing, and so you may have a better option. But I think, for the most part, this is going to be an interesting football game, considering Detroit was able to neutralize Aaron Rodgers and those weapons a couple weeks ago in Green Bay. Now it's indoors, so that could be to Green Bay's advantage. But this should be an interesting matchup. I think as far as starting guys go, you don't have any choice. What did you pay all that money for Aaron Rodgers for? What did you draft him in the first round or two for? You know, the pressure's on him like it's been in past years, and it's on him to step up and produce. There's no reason whatsoever that you should be sitting Aaron Rodgers against the Detroit Lions on the road. You know, now I will say this, with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley there, Detroit certainly had given Aaron Rodgers a tough time the last couple years when Green Bay came out to Detroit, but those guys aren't there. Nonetheless, Detroit has success, and I'm pretty sure they're going to rest on those laurels. So it'll be interesting to see what Green Bay, what new wrinkles they try to throw in there to maybe, you know, throw Detroit off from what they last seen on film and what they're, I guess, most familiar with. Eddie Lacy is probably the most interesting prospect here in this one. We all know that he got off to a very, 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 very slow start. Certainly a boom or bust candidate still. If he's not able to continue, at least putting up double digits, he's got to give you something. And, you know, he could be a guy, just a difference maker for you in the playoffs right now. Based on what he's done the last 2 weeks, I think you put a low end number two just for the simple fact that I need to see more consistency. And so number two running back for Eddie Lacy. And let's see how he does tonight. You know, I think that if he's going to continue to get 20-plus touches like most NFL running backs, you're going to be able to produce. We know he's a guy who can punch it in around the goal line. Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, I think that connection is going now. Let's see if they can continue on. You know, all things considered, again, those guys you're starting this week. I think nowadays it can be hard to start guys with confidence if they haven't been consistent all year. But this is a game that certainly bodes well with it being inside. And let's see. Let's see. Lions defense been playing much tougher. Green Bay's defense, not too shabby either, but they've certainly been the team or the defense that showed a little bit more leakier. The Jets and Giants, interesting matchup there. All indications are pointing to Darrelle Revis not playing in this game. And so, look, the Jets still have some talent in that secondary. But Odell Beckham Jr. is a proven commodity, and he's one of those guys who, you know, I think right now is starting to, you know, you think back to last year's playoffs and what a difference maker he was, and, you know, you kind of get in the sense that this guy certainly has a championship pedigree. If you have him on your team at wide receiver, you got to feel confident in what he can potentially do for you on a week-in and week-out basis. Flip side, Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall, those guys getting it going. Marshall last week, huge game, a buck 28 and a 2 touchdowns against Miami. So you really have to like the wide receivers in this one. You really have to like Brandon Marshall. You really have to like Eric Decker. You really have to like Odell Beckham Jr. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's another interesting prospect here. You know, this Giants defense is a defense that we've seen get burnt for 70 passes. We've seen this Giants defense get burnt last week by Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I think it's certainly a situation here where Ryan Fitzpatrick, with those weapons I just mentioned and Decker and Marshall, he's a good play this week. You know, I mean, if he can limit the turnovers, we know that the Giants don't have much of a pass rush. With Revis out, maybe some big plays made by Odell Beckham Jr. On the deep ball or in the passing game. And so, you know, perhaps the scoring is up in this one. I think you'd imagine Jets defense tougher than the Giants, but, you know, Eli, you seen it last week, despite 3 interceptions, he'll still find his way to you know, put some points on the board and throw a couple TD passes. So I think you like Ryan Fitzpatrick more than you like Eli Manning. We'll talk more. He's got a very tough schedule coming up there. The running backs in that game, obviously Chris Ivory is one of the main guys that you got going right now. I think especially with his goal line prowess, you like what he brings to the table. There's no running game for the New York Giants whatsoever. Shane Vereen, very risky, very hard to tell when he's going to do anything, if anything at all. Arizona, St. Louis, I think this is all about Arizona here. I think that the Rams defense can potentially pose some problems, but I think when you look at St. Louis upsetting Arizona the first go-round, and I think you look at the direction that those two teams have went since that time, you have to be leaning towards Arizona. I understand it's in St. Louis, but as I've kind of emphasized and talked about in weeks before, when you're the Rams and you have no threat of a passing game whatsoever, teams are going to barricade up on Todd Gurley, this poor guy right now. And they're telling Nick Foles and Brian Quick and Kenny Britt to beat him. You know, Tavon off plays here and there, but it's just not enough. And, you know, however the situation works out, certainly Arizona's going to win this ball game. And for Todd Gurley, man, I mean, it's rough right now. You know, I mean, he cannot afford to sit him. He's too talented. But I'd have to imagine after running for a buck 46 on these guys the first go-round, Man, Arizona's going to be keyed in, and so I'm thinking another modest day. I think your prayers and hopes for Todd Gurley's production, especially since he gets lost in the shuffle if they have to pass the football, is you pray some goal line opportunities fall his way. As for Arizona, we're all going to David Johnson, top waiver pick up this week, and he's in position to be a big time player for you. You heard it here first. Think about Jeremy Hill for the Bengals, his playoff run for you last year. And I think David Johnson is that type of guy. Look, Chris Johnson out indefinitely with the fibula injury, and Andre Ellington nicked up his toe. So he's not even at a 400% right now. And so Johnson's going to get the majority of the workload. You've seen him be able to run. You've seen him be able to catch out of the backfield. We know this offense moves the football, and he gets goal line carry. So his value just shot through the roof. And I think out of any Arizona players, he's the guy who stands the most to benefit. Rams secondary tough. They're familiar with Arizona. So, you know, maybe you lowered it to the expectation for Palmer a little bit. But you can't sit him or Larry, and I think that's a matchup that is going to be interesting to watch. The Rams have been getting questioned because of their heart. You know, you heard Jeff Fisher have to speak out about that this past week, about the team getting effort. So they could come out pumped at home and give Arizona a little trouble. Atlanta at Tampa Bay, and you're certainly, look, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Doug Martin, you start those guys. Matty Ice, you're worried about. We've seen him buckle down the stretch. The thing that's interesting about Atlanta right now, Devonta Freeman, bringing him into the fold. He's cleared. He'll be playing this week from the concussion protocol. Tampa Bay, very tough against the run. Another matchup, look, we just talked about Green Bay and Detroit playing each other a couple weeks ago. Well, Tampa Bay and Atlanta played each other earlier in the season. Tampa Bay won that game in Atlanta. A lot of motion behind it with Quan Alexander's younger brother dying that week, but he played his heart out. And Tampa Bay came in there, and I think many would consider it stole a game. The Falcons were very sloppy in that football game. A lot of turnovers. They only lost by 3. And so, you know, Atlanta's sliding right now. This is a game that they should win. But Matt Ryan, he is the key. You know, I mean, like I said, look, Tampa's pretty out against the run. And Freeman is going to get his all-purpose money. They're probably the most money player this year, his all-purpose prowess when Jamal or Le'Veon weren't there, and before Forte came down, talking about 100 all-purpose, you can pretty much put it in the books. He's that guy, you know, that touchdown usually pushes him over the edge. And so, you know, stout against the run, what he can do in the passing game, Devonta Freeman out of the backfield, I think you'll have an all-purpose day. Matt Ryan's the key, though. We're all going to be watching very closely, see if he can respond against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary that he did torch. First time around, 397, was 37 out of 45. But just sloppy football. So it seems to be a favorable matchup for Matty Ryan. Evans, as long as he continues to get double-digit targets, you're in good shape. He's had the drops he's as of late. Dropped another one last week in Indianapolis. Frustration off. But as long as he keeps getting 10 to 12 targets, he'll be absolutely fine. Doug Martin, like Devonta Freeman, all-purpose guy, heavily involved. Game should be close enough. I like both of those guys, 100 all-purpose. Seattle, Minnesota. Here it is, Adrian Peterson. Next 2 weeks for him, extremely rough. He's got it pretty much good from there, unless teams decide to kind of do what Todd Gurley does. A little more tougher with AP because he's just a dynamic and a special type of bat. But look, we know Seattle doesn't give up the run. Their secondary has been suspect. They don't give up the run in Minnesota. Peterson's up for the challenge. We've seen DeMarco Murray run 400 last year. I think if anybody can get loose on Seattle's run defense is Peterson, but it's going to be mighty tough. Look, Richard Sherman, those guys on the outside match up very well. They'll lock down Wallace and Steph Diggs, you know, young receivers. You got a one-trick pony in Wallace, and their defense just matches up well. Sometimes it's about matchups. So I'd be surprised. I think, and that's why AP's a number one running back. 75 running yards and the goal line touchdowns, ladies and gentlemen, that equals 14 points. So, you know, that's very doable for him. But careful, they're going to stack the line of scrimmage. Maybe hard to find daylight, but he's a guy who, if he can bust past that first pack, you know he can take one to the house for the long one. For Minnesota, I wouldn't play anybody else. I think because of the nature of the game, Bridgewater may just have to pass enough that Steph Diggs, if he gets to targets, can put up some good numbers for you. But I don't see him getting in the end zone. Seattle, look, tough for them as well. Russell Wilson, Thomas Rawls, Minnesota's defense, very at home. We've seen them give a lot of teams fits. I think they're second in the NFL right now in points given up. They can get after the quarterback. We know that the Seahawks offensive line not playing that well, although a little better lately. Russell Wilson's hot. He's the guy I think you got to start regardless. 8 TDs, he's filling it right now. Too hard to tell which Seattle receiver will get off. And so it's a true roll of the die. Any of those guys, just stick them in your flex. Thomas Rawls, I think, like Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, we talked about Peterson. For him, same prospect. Seattle runs so much, getting a full workload. He's going to get 20-plus carries. So it's going to find his way to double digits somehow, some way, usually whether it's all-purpose or maybe 60, 70 yards in a TD. So you like that there. Houston and Buffalo. Shady McCoy, he's a guy we'll touch base on later. He's getting hot right now. He's primed for the playoffs. You can't afford to sit him. We'll see if Sammy Watkins can continue on. This Houston Texans defense is rolling right now, holding opposing teams to under 10 points in their last four straight. J.J. Watt and company, you know they're going to cause a lot of problems. And so I don't know how you call this one. Last week, Buffalo KC, we thought it was going to be a slugfest, more of a slow type of ball game, yet the scoring was up in that one. And so it's in Buffalo. As far as fantasy goes, though, I think this one is rather obvious. DeAndre Hopkins, you got to play Watkins. Again, if they're going to feed him that much, he'll produce. Shady McCoy, that's all I like. You know, maybe Houston in the Bills defense, maybe the kickers, but for sure Hopkins and McCoy are the strong starts. Yeah, you got to live with the results. McCoy right now, we'll talk about him later, value up with Los Williams out, and he's really getting it going. Sammy Watkins, stick him in too. Baltimore, Miami, Javorius Allen. We've seen West chew into his work a little bit. He's a guy who could have certainly been up towards 20 points last week, had 70 all-purpose yards and a touchdown, 80 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. And so careful there, you know. But all signs point to him being involved in the offense, so he should find his way to double digits. But I'm not going to lie, I'm concerned. Terrence West, you know, he chewed into his work last week, and I think that's something that we should pay attention to and kind of watch that trend. At this point, Baltimore season pretty much over. You know, I don't know what approach they're taking, but it was notable. I think we all expected for Javorius Allen to get the full workload, and that was not the case for him. Kamar Akins got some value now with Schaub in there, and then you flip over to Miami. This should be a week, you know, Baltimore, sorry, secondary. This should be a week that Tannehill, Jarvis Landry get it going. You know, I think off of last week, Landry is certainly feeling good about himself. We'll see if Rashard Matthews possibly can get back in the mix. Lamar Miller, he's been cold, very tough Ravens run defense getting still. And so I think that, you know, it should be a good day for Tannehill. Landry, again, maybe Rashard Matthews gets into the mix now, but we'll see. Tannehill's been the type of guy who, you know, in matches like this that are favorable, Ravens secondary amongst the worst in the NFL, he'll play bad or he won't show up. But in the game, it's tough. Maybe last week, like the Jets, you know, 21-0 to get down. But in fantasy, that was great because you knew he was going to pass the rest of the game, and he found 367 and 3 TDs. So who knows? Flip your coin with Ryan Tannehill. Cincinnati and Cleveland, this is all about Cincinnati. Tyler Eifert, the one we're watching out for with the neck injury, hasn't practiced all week. If he's out, I think that just means more targets for A.J. Green. Hayden not there to pester him, so he should be much more of a stronger play. Marvin Jones, new, who knows who gets in the mix. Maybe he lean on the run a little bit more with Jeremy Hill. He found his way to 86 yards last week. Cleveland not too solid against the run. Andy Dalton should be a strong play. The Bengals defense should be a pretty strong play. For Cleveland right now, Austin Davis getting a shot at quarterback. I've got a little bit more experience than Manziel. Let's say that Benjamin, a decent flex play. And Barnage, he's always going to be a start for you at tight end. Jacksonville, Tennessee. For Jacksonville, Alan Hearns is not supposed to give it a go. Hasn't practiced all week with that concussion. And so I think the thing that you should pay attention to is on one end of the spectrum, Hearns has only had 19 and 42 yards in his last two games respectively. So it's not like he's been lighting it up, but he could have been attracting a lot of attention and then opening up things on the other side. And so I don't know if Blake Bortles is going to miss him or not on the field. Still has Julius Thomas. I think the good rapport with them going last week, Julius picking up 9 catches for a buck 10. Al Robinson, obviously he's going to eat, but it'll be interesting to see what Bortles You know, now does the coverage shift more on those guys and he doesn't play so well, or Hearns not being in the mix, he's able to continue on? I think you play him, but you're a little reluctant. You know, he's a young guy. He finds the way to turn the football over. If that's a 20-13 game again, maybe the stats aren't where you want it to be. Al Robinson, he's a must-start. T.J. Yeldon, another guy, not producing at a high level, but he's getting a solid 18-20 touches per ball game. Tennessee, Delanie Walker is the guy that you love there. Mariota, hey, maybe. Last time they played, a rushing touchdown of 30 yards bumped him up to 19 if it wasn't for that 10. So, you know, again, young guy, Jacksonville's defense, these teams, they just play another game, just played a couple weeks ago. So we don't know the familiarity value. Is it there or not? You know, are these teams going to, you know, play each other very close again? Or, you know, you really don't know how it's going to shake out. So Al Robinson is the strongest start, along with Delanie Walker. He's a guy constantly getting the targets. San Francisco and Chicago, you run that one down. It's all about Chicago. Jay Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey, you love that connection. We'll see if Martellus Bennett can get back in the loop. Zach Miller, he's a solid backup if you need to fill in 4 weeks. Scott Chandler was another guy for the Patriots while it's on the top of my head. But if you're looking for a fill-in for a week, if Bennett isn't playing, Zach Miller is somebody that you want to look at. We'll all be keeping our eyes closely on the running back committee going on with Langford and Forte. Look, last week, if Matt Forte plays that game by himself, which was the case before he was injured, 14 fantasy points for you, 80 all-purpose yards and touchdown. With Langford in the mix, last week Forte, 45 rushing yards. Langford right around the same amount. Both guys had, I think, about 14 and 13 touches respectively. But however the cards played out, Langford is the one that got the opportunity to punch it in on a goal line touchdown. Now, Forte did have a goal line carry. He got stopped short. But you get my drift here. Now the split was Forte 4, Langford 10, instead of Forte giving you all 14. So, I mean, that's tough, you know, and playing them both, for playing both of those guys, 14 is not a number that you want to see. You at least want to see 20 if you're playing them both, regardless of who it comes from. Double digits is what's going to get you to win. For Chicago as well, their defense, you know, look, Blaine Gabbert coming to town, this 49ers team, you know, they're just kind of just playing right now because games are on the schedule. And so I think all the momentum is for Chicago in this one. For San Francisco, Vance McDonald, low-end tight end, he's another guy making a little noise. You know, that Gabbert, like most backup quarterbacks, the backups are who they target the most, they're most familiar with, short passing game. So he may be able to do something for you if you're desperate. Denver, San Diego, I think you're playing all your studs in this one. Look, for Phillip Rivers and company, if you've had him on your team, you've rolled with him this long. Now, for Rivers, obviously, if you need to get in the playoffs, and I would say more than anything with these matchups, that's the key. If you need to get in the playoffs in these matchups like Phillip Rivers against Denver, you possibly may want to avoid. You know, I mean, if you're going to play the percentages, you need to get in. Hard to sit them. Again, doesn't take much. Hey, can Phillip Rivers get 250 yards and 2 TDs and interception on Denver? Sure he can. But the likelihood of it, you know, is slimmer than you know, what's been in the past. I mean, this just isn't a good matchup on paper for Denver. For Phillip Rivers, he struggled mightily the last 2 years against defenses that are tough. And I think it's a roll of the die. You know they're going to pass a ton. So, again, he could find his way to 300 yards, 3 TDs, and 2 interceptions. But I think Denver's defense coming in. I think for this one, you're looking at the Broncos. You're looking at the backfield of Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson. I talked about that as soon as Osweiler took over at quarterback. I said, hey, look, I think more than anything, this is really going to benefit C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman, the running game, because they're going to lean on it. They're going to be more committed to it. And I didn't realize at the time, with Osweiler being under center and Manning out of shotgun, how much of a huge difference that was. So we know the San Diego's defense is a joke. So those two guys, I think, stand to benefit the most. It's week to week. It's sad to say Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, true roll of the die. I haven't seen both of those guys get off in the same game together for a long time. And so it's going to be one or the other. Man, it's hard to try to figure that puzzle out there. KC, Oakland, you play all your studs here. I understand that KC's defense, tough against the run, but I think all things considered, when you look at the type of ball game this potentially could be, I'm thinking 27, 24, somewhere up in there, unless, you know, these defenses both just kind of clamor down, then sure. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, Latavius Murray, Jeremy Maclin, Alex Smith, Travis Kelce, you play all those guys.
Don't be afraid to play either team's defenses, especially Kansas City, despite what they may get scored on. Some turnovers could be in the cards. And, again, look, running back by committee, we'll touch a little bit more. Will it be Sharkandrick West? Will it be Spencer Ware? If one guy gets the full workload, then they're a must start. If they end, if you hear about a timeshare, then at that point it gets fuzzy. Carolina, New Orleans, we know the trending pattern here. Best of luck to you if you're going to play Drew Brees the way that he, and I'm not mentioning his weapons because they're attached to him. So best of luck playing Drew Brees, if considering the trending pattern. If you've seen Carolina's defense so far this year and you've seen Drew Brees so far this year against tough defenses a la last week against Houston, then, look, he's at home. Again, sometimes these games get out of hand. Numbers add up. But if we're going at face value, if you're needing to get into the playoffs, I'll just say it like this. You're taking a chance with Drew Brees against that Panthers defense. Mark Ingram, you've got to start him due to volume. I don't like Brandon Cooks this week. Carolina, you're playing these guys with the utmost confidence. We're talking about the Saints defense in the story. Philadelphia, New England, another game here where these Eagles are reeling. And so it's all about New England in this one. I don't think that the win, unless Bradford or whoever's at quarterback for Philadelphia, this game probably doesn't get out of hand. You're probably thinking, you know, New England maybe 27-13. But, you know, if it does, then certainly the people for New England, Amendola, LaFell, I think this is LaFell's week. I think finally he's got, you know, he's a guy who's not fast. He doesn't have top end speed. He's more of a possession type receiver. I think he's really well in the red zone. And so this is the type of matchup that he can exploit. He hasn't found pay dirt. If he has, I can't remember. Maybe one time since Brady's been in there. So nice matchup for him. Amendola, if he's playing, obviously underneath, he can do a lot of damage. We talked about Scott Chandler being in for Gronk. Obviously, Tommy Guns, nice matchup for him. And I think LeGarrette Blount, you know, he's been the guy who's been kind of holding true. He's ran into some tough matchups against tough run defenses where New England has just said, you know, kind of from the opening kickoff, we're just going to pass 50 times a day. But you like his prospects as well, too, especially, again, if it's that 27-13 type game, he'll be finishing the Eagles off late in that one for Philly. You know, New England's defense isn't all that. You know, they're tough. They'll do enough. But I think, again, this game, if it goes according to game flow we've seen all season, late somebody will pop in there. So, you know, DeMarco Murray, what choice do you have? You know, you can't sit him. But this guy, Morrell's got to be in a dump right now. Jordan Matthews. I mean, these guys, when you talk about Philly's players right now, it's with no confidence at all. So I'll let you guys make the judgment call it. Indianapolis at Pitt, you're playing everybody. Frank Gore, we'll talk about him later. Rough going, but again, getting all the full working with Mob Bradshaw going down with the injury. I mean, they're going to continue to lean on him. So as much as you're aggravated with Frank Gore, I don't think that you can sit him. But you're playing everybody in this one. We won't spend a lot of time. You're playing Benny, D'Angelo, Martavi, and Banks. You're playing T.Y. Hilton, Moncrief. You're certainly hoping Hasselbeck against a young, inexperienced, undisciplined Steelers secondary who gives up big plays. Hopefully that can keep the chemistry going. And like I said, Frank Gore. And then we'll end it on Monday night with Dallas and Washington. He's playing everybody in this one. You know, I think the biggest thing we're looking for is matchups now with Dallas, with Tony Romo going down, obviously, Darren McFadden, Dez Bryant, the guys who stood to gain the most with Romo being in there. Their value took a hit. You can't deny that. And so in this matchup, they should be good to go at Washington. In tougher matchups, you're really going to have to pick your poison. And so McFadden and Dez, you start them with confidence at Washington. For the Redskins, Kirk Cousins has been solid at home. He's risky for me, but I think with how thin the waiver wire is, his trend and pattern has been at home against teams and good. And that's what Dallas is right now. He's found a way to play well and play clean football. Alfred Morris seems to be taking on more of a bigger workload. If anybody has him, excuse me for laughing, but, you know, maybe he can do something for you. I'm just throwing it in there. I don't know. I don't trust him. I cut ties with him long ago, but the facts are right now, he is getting the bulk of the workload. Matt Jones is kind of being phased out a little bit. The guy who's got the biggest ability in this one is DeSean Jackson. We've seen him now kicking it in the gear, going deep, how explosive he is. One play, 60 yards, and you got 12 points on the board. That was your week 13 rundown. Let's hit to a commercial break. We'll be right back. Got a ton of great stuff to talk to you guys about. So go over to NFLExporter.com. That's NFLExporter.com. Click on a fantasy football page, see what's going on. When we come back, we'll start jumping into it as we are getting ready for Green Bay in Detroit to kick off week 13. It's the Extra Point. NFL Explorer. We'll be right back.
All right, fantasy football owners, NFL football fans, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Your host, Lance Cubbin from NFLExporter.com. Look, don't forget to get with us on Facebook, all right? We're upwards of 2,000 fantasy football owners and growing. Everybody's getting ready for the playoffs. It's that time of year. That's Facebook.com/NFLExporter. That's spelled NFLExporter. If you are on Twitter, your preferred Twitter, you can follow us over there at NFLExporter. The spelling's the same way. And right now, let's go ahead and go over to the website. All right. This is how we do on Thursdays. This website is updated 7 p.m. So basically at showtime. All right. The website is updated, new content, new information. And on the Extra Points, we delve into that. We break everything down and make sure that we've got you ready to go for kickoff on Sunday. All right. And things get started tonight. Thursday night, we're live from Dave and Buster's in Los Angeles, California. Don't forget, if you are here, then make sure to come and join us. That address again is 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, California, 90045. And so, look, if you go over to the NFL Exporter website right now, let's take a look at the fantasy football page, all right? And what you'll see on that fantasy football page is we get things started with the top 51 players that are going to have an impact on the fantasy football playoffs, all right? And so, look, right now I think that the trends and the patterns have been established. We're going to touch base on that. If you scroll down the page, you see that's an area we're going to touch. But look, these are the 51 players. These are the players right here who are going to have the biggest impact on your fantasy football playoffs. And when I say the biggest impact, I'm talking about them producing, helping you win a championship, their lack of production ultimately costing you a championship. And with that in mind, you're still going to have to be flexible and maybe make some moves and plays that you're not accustomed to making if it means winning a championship. You know, this thing is week by week, and I think one thing we've seen for sure is, you know, most players are matchup-based. You know, you do see those things, you know, currently that trend holding true right now, you know, if you're playing against certain teams. And so, look, a guy like Adrian Peterson, for example, you know, depending on him, the next couple weeks, it's going to be tough. You know, I think that scenario that I painted for you, and I think for him it's good that the Minnesota Vikings defense, I think at this point we can call them stout. You know, they're certainly solid. They keep Minnesota with getting opportunities, and, you know, they're always in the game. You know, they're never, you know, they're never too far out of a game. You know, that's been the value with Marshawn Lynch and his production the last couple years. You know, Seattle's always never more than 10 points down in the ball game, and so he's never phased out. You know, Adrian Peterson is constantly getting the football, and you know, that's allowing for him to produce as he wears defenses down as the game wears on. And so you know, for Adrian Peterson this week against Seattle, the following week against Arizona, both of those teams are very tough against the run. Both of those teams have a secondary who can match up in man-to-man coverage with those receivers. For Seattle, Richard Sherman, Kerry Williams, they can match up with Mike Wallace and Stephon Diggs. And Arizona, certainly with Patrick Peterson and Tony Jefferson, you know, both of those secondaries, very talented. They're going to match up very well, and so they're going to be able to put an extra man in the box. And it could be pretty tough. After that, for Adrian Peterson, I think he's in position to certainly help bring you home with matchups against the Giants and Green Bay and Chicago. Another guy, Brandon Marshall, you know, the New York Jets. He's one of the hottest receivers going right now in fantasy football. You look at his upcoming matchups, and you're certainly thinking with the targets that he gets weekly and what a huge presence he is in the red zone, he's got to be, you know, a top, you know, 10 to 20 player as far as helping you win a championship. You know, this week at the Giants, I think left on the schedule, you have Dallas. They play New England again. You know, Buffalo could be tough. But I think in the bigger scheme of things, Brandon Marshall is just talented of a receiver that he's going to make a difference. Another guy, Devonta Freeman. Again, we talked about his all-purpose prowess. You know, that's what really gives him that major upside, you know, on pretty much on any Sunday. Let's go ahead and throw Shady McCoy in there now as well. On any Sunday, you know, these guys are good for you know, 75 rush yards, 45 out of the backfield. That's a buck 15 off the top. And if they find pay dirt, then you're pretty much up towards 20, and that's what you need in your lineup. And so take a look at those 51 players. We'll be talking about them nonstop throughout the playoffs, but mark my words, with the exception of some week-to-week plays, those are the guys right there. You know, another guy, Alex Smith, I know it's unconventional. I know it's unsexy. I know it's unfamiliar. I know it's awkward, okay? But if you look at Alex Smith's numbers throughout the course of the year, by the way, he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback. I mean, you know, let's call it how it is. You know, I mean, regardless of how I may feel about him, you may feel about him, the style of play, his lack of turning the football over, the guy hasn't thrown an interception since week three. He's ranked 11th. He's ranked 10th in fantasy football. So it's been consistent throughout the course of the year. And when you're talking about schedules, you look at his next game. He's got Oakland, Cleveland, Baltimore, San Diego, and Oakland again. He's likely going to produce, especially if he can just get two touchdown passes. And he's a guy who can run one in for you. Another guy, real quick, who I love their playoff schedule. I think they've got championship pedigree. We're talking about Matthew Stafford and the Chicago, the Detroit Lions. You look at his schedule in weeks 15, 16, and then for those leagues to go 17, he's got in there Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Chicago. And, you know, unless he freezes up like he did last year, if you recall, he burnt me bad last year. Fantasy, I was in a championship game. You're thinking, man, the Chicago Bears defense, who was ranked their secondary, maybe 30th in the NFL at the time. And you're looking at that, and I'm saying, man, Matt Stafford, he's going to put up at least a dub for me today. And he came out of that thing with 249, no touchdowns, and two interceptions, and just burnt owners. And so unless he freezes up like that again, Matt Stafford, take a look at his playoff schedules in weeks 15, 16, and 17. He should be a guy who is money. And I apologize, not Tampa Bay. He's got New Orleans, San Francisco, and Chicago to end the year. All right, we're going to run to another quick break. Again, we're getting ready, Green Bay and Detroit, week 13, extra points, NFL Exporter. We'll be right back. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points. Don't forget, we're here every Monday, every Thursday. Look, Thursday night, we kick things off with the new release of NFLExporter.com. We do the Extra Points. It's enough to carry you through the weekend. And look, it's podcast style for your listening enjoyment. It is Android, mobile friendly for your listening convenience. So look, take me on the go with you. I'm not nailing you down to right now if you can't make it. You got today, tomorrow, Saturday, up until kickoff Sunday. For you, those of you on the East Coast, 1 o'clock Sunday. I'm out here in California, so kickoff's at 10 in the morning. But, hey, look, throw me on 11 in the morning on Sunday, however it works out. And shout out to everybody doing their thing. We know right now there's a ton of fantasy football shows on television, on radio, podcast, website, the whole nine. So, hey, look, shout out to everybody making it happen. Definitely trying to get these owners the best advice. But for over the 2,000 fantasy owners we got on Facebook, for those who listen to the show, they can definitely vouch for on this side. You're getting expert fantasy advice for champions. And, again, that's the reason you need to make sure to fit me in your diet before kickoff on Sunday. In a minute, we're going to bring on Greg LaFortune. He comes in and does the weekly start and sit segments with me. Real quick, before we get to that, let's go ahead now and take a flip over back to the fantasy football page on NFLExporter.com. And for this segment here, we're just going to take a look. We're going to hit the fantasy football stock market. I want to take a look at what players are trending up, what players are currently trending down. You look at what players are trending up, some of the names you're going to find on there. Calvin Megatron Johnson, he got on track last week, those three TDs against Philadelphia. I just talked about Matt Stafford's schedule, which means that is Calvin Johnson's schedule. And when you're talking about weeks 15, 16, and 17 with New Orleans, San Fran, and Chicago, he's definitely got the championship pedigree. C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman, we referenced both of those guys. Denver more committed to the run. Their cars are certainly stacking up well schedule-wise at San Diego this week. That's definitely a matchup you want to look into and exploit.
another guy that you'll find on that list, Mr. Shady McCoy. We're going to talk about him in a trend and pattern segment. But look, just briefly, Carlos Williams went down with a shoulder injury. He's not going to be in the fold. McCoy already working on four straight games of over 100 all-purpose yards. He's got his legs fully under him. He's looking good. He's ready to go. He's certainly trending upward. Tough test, though. I want to see how his numbers shake out this week. J.J. Watt just causing major, major problems and issues. Talk about some other guys right now who want to list trending up. We're talking about DeSean Jackson of the Washington Redskins. Big playability, and we've seen it now two straight games. He burnt Carolina for one deep. And I burnt the Giants for one even deeper last week. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, I think if nothing else, we've kind of seen that the last 2 years. We've seen Kirk Cousins be able to deliver the deep ball to DeSean Jackson. Right now, he's an excellent flex play. Low in number two because, you know, we've seen in some games when he's not hitting on a deep ball, then he can kind of pop up missing. But he's fully healed from that hamstring. And, you know, the Redskins are in it. So he's playing motivated, and they're looking to get the ball to him deep. He's really the kind of the only guy who can create explosive plays in the passing game. So you like certainly what you see out of him there. Delanie Walker, he's another guy continuing to trend up. He's just getting the weekly targets. I mean, you know, it's impressive. You like it. It's good to see them using him and really leaning on him and trying to make that happen. So good for him. Derek Carr, you know, I mean, look, had the rough game at Detroit, but bounced back strong. 333 TDs, zero interceptions. He's certainly another guy who's trending upwards. You have to like what you're seeing out of him at this particular point and juncture. And then Greg Olsen, Cam Newton, those guys trending up as well. You look at their matchups coming up, you know, game against New Orleans. I mean, I think that speaks for itself. And then Atlanta, another team that doesn't defend the tight end particularly well. And so you like how things are stacking up for them. Some guys that you are looking at trending downward right now, Sharkandrick West. And it's unfortunate, you know, that's how the NFL is nowadays. You know, you get injured regardless of how you're producing. If somebody else is doing well behind you, they're going to chew into your work. And so he was a guy who was getting the full workload. Yeah, Spencer Ware was kind of, you know, bouncing in here and there, maybe a spell. But the way that guy performed the last couple of weeks, there's no way Kansas City is going to be able to keep him off the football field. I think if nothing else, you'll see him getting goal line work. In my estimation, just on the outside looking in, I'm thinking committee, and I'm thinking that, you know, a situation more successful with how Cincinnati tries to use Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. You know, coming into the season and when the season first started, as things matured, and really it was a quick – the leash was so short on Hill. I mean, he had one game where he fumbled twice. That was maybe like week two or three, and I mean, they just cut his work right in half. And so short leash for him. But I think once things kind of materialized, you know, we all came to the reality, like, okay, for Jeremy Hill, look, he's probably going to get 13, 15 scattered carries all over the football game. Gio's getting most of the work because of his all-purpose prowess. And Hill's most value is going to be in the red zone, and particularly inside the 10-yard line, the goal line for him to punch it in. And so you tried to play the matchups, and you'd be satisfied with 60 yards and a touchdown. You'll live with 12 points from the number two running back position or your flex position. But it hasn't worked out that way. I can see it working here in Kansas City. The Spencer Ware guy, like I said, you know, teams catch on quick. They game plan differently. But the way I've seen him running between the tackles, I could easily see that being a situation where, you know, Wes may get a little more to work because of his versatility. He's definitely a better back out of the backfield, but I don't think they can keep the Spencer Ware kid off the field. So Sharkandrick West, that's a hit. You know, owners were able to rely on him, big time number two running back, getting a full workload, and that's definitely not going to be a case. Same holds true for Matt Forte. I mean, look, the guy was getting the full workload. You know, I mean, that was a true luxury being a fantasy owner this year. And you've seen first game back. Now, look, I don't know if they're easing Forte back into it. I don't know. You know, we're on the sidelines. We don't know what the game plan was. Maybe he was not 100% but good enough to play. They didn't want to overdo it the first time out. We don't know what the case may be. But you'd have to imagine that something similar to this, especially since Chicago's really not getting a lot out of any other receivers besides Alshon Jeffrey. They're using their backs out of the backfield. Both of those guys can catch them. So, you know, I think that's a situation for Matt Forte where, yeah, definitely, you know, hitting. I mean, until we can see him back on the football field, with 20-plus touches. You know, I use touches. I'm fine with whatever, 15 carries and 5 catches, as long as they're quality. You know, and teams definitely don't utilize a screen game and some other creative ways you can get the ball to the running back. But that's another note. But anyway, let's see Forte last week with 13 carries. First game back, you know, let's see what the trend is this week at home. Much more favorable matchup against the San Francisco 49ers defense. Another guy that you're trimming down before we go ahead and bring Greg in is Demaryius Thomas. And it's rough, you know. I mean, him and Emmanuel Sanders, and that's in our trending patterns. If you look at that as well, I just kind of bring that up now. It's rough. Like I said, it's one or the other. And so as a fantasy owner, you find yourself in an extremely tough and peculiar position because you don't know which one of those guys are going to perform. And in Peyton Manning's heyday there, or even last year, you know, I mean, you know, Demary was able to get his 1,300. E-Man able to get his 1,300. Demary tuggled in about 13 tugs for you. E-Man got you about 8-9, and you were set. And we talked about that, you know. I mean, that was the mindset of Denver this year. Okay, well, with Welker and Juju Thomas gone, Manning's just going to be able to distribute it to both those guys. I think that's something I'm going to cover. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that. I got disconnected there. And so, yeah, I was just saying, though, that's something that I think will be a good piece to run on because I really wondered about that starting the year off. You know, everybody was under the assumption with the numbers that Demaryius and E-Man put up last year that they were going to be able to do it this year. And I think last year, you know, teams still were concerned about Welker. They were concerned about Julius Thomas, and it at least was in their mind. And Manning was still running the hurry-up offense and some things of that nature. And so, you know, this year defenses have definitely been able to eliminate one or the other, and it's just a bad trend. A lot of fantasy owners, you know, Demaryius Thomas, the guy going in round one or two, and by far he hasn't put up the numbers. Only 2 touchdowns all year long. That's unacceptable. All right, look, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to bring on Greg LaFortune. Take a look at our top 10 starts and sits for the week. It's the NFL Exporter. You're listening to Extra Points. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points, the fantasy football show to get your expert fantasy advice for champions. And we're going to hop right now into our top start and sit segment of the week. Let's go ahead and bring in Greg LaFortune. How's everything going, Greg?
Everything's good, Lance. How about you?
It's going good. Going good. Adrenaline going here. You know, approaching this last week or two. Time for the playoffs, man. You know, it's time to you know, put up or shut up. I mean, these losses, they're going to mean something now. So definitely getting ready.
Definitely. It's crunch time. Big weeks. Big weeks for the next couple.
All right, great. And so, Greg, let's go ahead and start. And let's start with your sits this week. Who are some players that you think fantasy owners at least should give some strong consideration to maybe sitting this go-round out?
Okay, if you have somebody else besides Drew Brees, I'd definitely take a look at him. Brees is playing Carolina. We all know how good Carolina is. And he's actually been trending downward the last couple of games since that 7-touchdown game versus the Giants. Carolina's had 18 interceptions this year. They're leading the league. They've totally shut down the last quarterbacks the last 3 games. I mean, they're playing lights out. So if you have anybody else besides Brees, I'd definitely give him consideration this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure anybody who was heavy into fantasy football, they completely understand where you're coming from, so I won't even touch that one. What you got next, Greg?
I got Jameis Winston against Atlanta. Atlanta has a really good pass defense, as bad as their run defense is. And Winston, he had 177 yards the last time he played Atlanta. They really shut him down. Atlanta gives up the 2nd fewest points to fantasy quarterbacks. So, and Winston's only got 7 touchdowns in his last 5 games. And one of those games he had 5. So, he's really not the touchdown-throwing guy lately. He's definitely trending downward. If you got somebody else, I'd definitely maybe think about popping him in your lineup this week.
Yeah, you know what? I think he's a guy that's sitting right there in the middle, Greg. I don't see him as a strong start, but I do not see him as that bad of a play. You know, Mike Evans has really had some bad drops on him this year. You know, and I think about this matchup. I think the matchup, I should say the game flow, is going to kind of determine what he can put up. I mean, if Matty Ice can get it rolling against this poor Tampa D, then I think, you know, Winston trying to keep up, you know, if the scoring's up. But at the same token, like you said, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see a 23-17 game where, you know, maybe the stats aren't all that. So I think he's a guy, like you said, it definitely is more risky kind of putting him in his week based on patterns and trends. Who you got next?
Okay, and next we're going off to running backs. I'm not liking Frank Gore this week against Pittsburgh. Gore looked horrible last week at 24 yards on 19 carries. Pittsburgh's D is top five, giving up the fewest points against running backs. They're top 10 in rushing yards allowed all year. And I definitely saw a quote from Coach Pagano that said Gore was beat to hell this year. So he's definitely on the downturn in his career, and I don't like him this week.
Yeah, that's amazing, you know. Unfortunate to hear. You know, I mean, it's still five games left in the season. So if he's like that already, then, man, that's unfortunate. Gore has been one of the surprises to me, Greg. He reminds me a lot of Melvin Gordon in San Diego. I mean, these guys have gotten the carries religiously all year. Gore a little bit more. You know, San Diego likes to pass a lot, but – I mean, this is like the third time this year I've seen Gore with, you know, 18 or 19 carries, and he can't even muster up, you know, more than 50 or 60 yards. He's been a huge disappointment. Who you got next, Greg?
Okay, next I got Latavius Murray versus the Chiefs. Chiefs have been playing lights out the last few games. They're really making a push towards the playoffs after a real slow start. Murray hasn't had 100 yards since week 8. He hasn't broke 60 yards in the last three. He had a little run there, and people got kind of jumped on his bandwagon, but I don't see him breaking out against Kansas City. They've only given up 3 rushing touchdowns all year running back, so I don't know. If you got somebody else besides Murray, definitely give him a shot.
Yeah, you know what's so funny about that is, you know, it's definitely about trends and patterns, and you just named it. So I will say this, you know, about any players, not just the list that Greg is bringing to you, any players you think about sitting this week, if they have been on a streak of not producing for that long, sometimes they're just kind of bound for a good game, you know, kind of due to the percentages. So I think for Latavius Murray, I'm with you, Greg. You know, it's how you don't have much confidence. I'm going to trade for him. He hasn't had double digits yet, I think 3 games, and so it's hard to have confidence in him. I've been talking to some Raiders fans. You know, they told me that center Reggie Hudson being out was a huge loss there. I agree. I don't know if you remember in that San Diego game when Amari took like a screen to the house, but Hudson, you know, a center, he's downfield, you know, 30 yards downfield blocking. So
right.
Even saying with him out the lineup, it's hurt. And then also, you know, they're very pass happy in the red zone. You know, that's something Greg, I, you know, kind of tweeted in the Facebook about teams, you know, just not being committed to the run inside the red zone in the 10. I mean, it's like they run it one time just to show face, and then from there it's passing. So I think it's encouraging. He had 22 carries last week. You know, anybody who's going to get that, you hope well. Hard to play him, but I say, you know, you may consider him as a flex. I mean, I think at some point, and especially if the scoring can get up in that game, which I think that it can, despite KC's defense, he may bust in there. But, man, he's struggling right now, Greg.
Right, definitely. And on the other side, Kansas City is definitely not struggling on defense. They got a great rush defense. The division game, so, you can kind of throw the stats out the window when you play in the division, but he's really on a bad streak, and, I mean, he's had a good 3 crappy weeks in a row. If you're going to stick him in your lineup, you really got faith in this guy.
Okay, next. All right, who you got next? Go ahead.
I got next. I got T.J. Yeldon at Tennessee. He was getting hyped because he was getting all the carries, but he only got 1 touchdown all year. Tennessee's top 3 against running backs, fantasy point-wise, and they're playing really good run D. They're at Tennessee. I'm not loving T.J. Yeldon this week.
Interesting, Greg. Another guy, you know, I mean, I think more than anything, the most encouraging news that I've seen from him early in the season was, you know, despite the numbers maybe not being that great, I was seeing him getting all the work. You know, he was getting 90% of the work. He's getting all the carries. They were right around 15 to 17 carries. I seen him get some catches out the backfield. He's remained a workhorse for them all year long. But another guy like Gore, Latavius Murray carries were down a couple weeks. You know, remember he had that concussion too. And that was the funny thing about it for Murray. You know, before the concussion, he was hot. You know, 85 a TD against San Diego, 100 against the Jets. He had 97 yards before the concussion in the third quarter against Pitt. But TJ Yeldon, man, I mean, this guy constantly, week in and week out, he's getting 18, 19 carries. And you're just seeing 60 yards, 70 yards. So I have to agree with you, man. Again, I think one of these guys, Greg, you know, just due to percentages, is going to find double digits, but it's very hard playing these guys right now.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, like you said, like all three of the guys that I do not like this week are getting all the work, and all the guys that are getting all the work are very hard to find, but they all got really tough matchups this week, really tough to play them. Okay, next, I got Mike Evans. I did not like Jameis Winston, so therefore Mike Evans I do not like also. Atlanta's really good against the pass. They've only given up 13 touchdown passes all year. And their previous matchup, Evans had 9 targets. He only brought in 3 catches for 48 yards, and that was without Vincent Jackson there. Vincent Jackson's back, so he's gonna chew up a few of the targets that would have been meant for Evans. And the drops are killing Evans this year. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I mean, he's on one of my main money leagues, and he's been driving me crazy all year. He's been up, he's been down, he's been getting a lot of targets. I'm actually sitting him down this week. He was my number one receiver in the draft, and I'm actually sitting him in a week that I absolutely have to win this week. So I'm not liking Mike Evans.
Wow, yeah, that's saying a lot, especially for a guy who continues to get, you know, double-digit targets. Hard to sit that out. But, man, confidence, man, trust goes a long way with these fantasy players. Who you got next, Greg?
Going along with not liking Drew Brees, I do not like Brandon Cooks against Carolina's defense. He had 5 for 35 last week versus Houston. I think he's on the downtrend along with Brees. Carolina's only allowed 13 touchdown passes, and they only average about 224 yards passing, giving up a game. Carolina's got a really tough D. I think they're going to shut Brees and the Saints down, and along with Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think you look at for the New Orleans Saints, you got to play matchups, and you'll definitely be much better off playing the percentages and holding off until I think they play Tampa Bay, Detroit, Jacksonville in their next three. I think the prospects are much better there. Who's next?
Okay, next we move over to the tight ends. Jordan Reed against Dallas. Say what you want about Dallas, but they are top 10 defense against tight ends this year. They're top passing defense, actually. They've only given up 11 passing touchdowns all year. They're really good against the tight end, and I'm not liking Jordan Reed's chances against Dallas this week. Even though they're at home and they're a different team when they're at home, I think Dallas is going to step up for this game and shut Washington down.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this particular case, certainly the advice Greg is leaning towards is just be cautious. You know, the tight end position more than any position is where you had at least, you know, the premium is at the least. So he's a guy who's involved enough. I think you can maybe fairly say he's Cousins' favorite target. So you don't have any choice but to play him, but certainly temper expectation.
Definitely. My next would be Martellus Bennett from the Bears. He's playing San Fran this week. And some very interesting stats about San Fran. They locked down the other team's tight end. They haven't allowed more than 61 yards to a tight end all year. Playing San Fran, haven't scored since week 5. So that's a bad matchup for Bennett. He's a little nicked up. He is playing this week. Well, he's probable anyway. Definitely look for alternative choices there because the Niners are locked down against the tight end.
Yeah, we threw some guys. We threw at you Brent Celek, tight end for Mark Sanchez. Well, I don't know if Bradford's back, but that may change things. But Celek, we talked about Vance McDonald, the 49ers. Talked about Scott Chandler in for Gronk. You know, he's got the best quarterback
Definitely.
In situation. And then Zach Miller behind Bennett. Those should all be better looks.
Definitely. On to a defense that I don't like. I don't like the Rams against Arizona. The Rams lately can't stop the run. They're getting gashed about 400 yards over the last 3 weeks. Arizona's the fifth highest scoring team in the NFL. I think the Rams are going to have rough going in Arizona this week. So if you can scope out another streaming defense out there, maybe look another way if you got the Rams.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're truly a defense. We seen this last year with them. You know, their offense really takes away from their value. I mean, you know, they're unable to stay on the football field, you know, and it just, you know, the Rams, I mean, for any defense, you know, the more you're on the field, you know, especially a whole bunch of three and outs and all that stuff, you know, the more it's definitely going to affect you. And so I'm with Greg on this one. And, you know, I think, you know, it beat Arizona earlier in the year, so I don't think Arizona forgets that. I think this one is all Arizona. While we're on the topic, Greg was talking about streaming. Low-key defenses, take a look at the Bears. Blaine Gabbert, the Niners coming to town. Bears defense playing a lot better lately. Then I'll also look at the Dolphins. You know, I know they're not a sexy pick right at this very moment, but it's about trends and patterns. Ravens don't have a ton going on offense. We know Matt Schaub, he'll turn it over. You know, Miami, they're due for another victory, so take a look at those defenses. Greg, I think we should be on to the starts now.
You got it. One of my biggest starts this week is Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Giants. The Giants are horrible. They give up the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. And Fitzpatrick is not really having a bad year. He's averaging almost two touchdowns a game. And the Jets have adjusted the playbook to include more short passes, which is his strength. He's not doing good on the long passes this year, so they're gearing it towards him, a little short, quick and outs, you know. He had four TDs last week, and once I, like I said, playing against the Giants, you got to start the quarterback there. So I'm loving Fitzpatrick this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Marshall and Decker at the receivers for him, I think he's a guy who, I mean, you know, two TD passes being in the cards is almost a shorty. So great play. We've seen this Giants defense. I touched on it earlier. Drew Brees threw for seven TDs. Cousins looked very good against him last week. I mean, I think it's just a solid play. They're not even really traveling that far out of town. And who you got next, Greg?
Okay, I got Ryan Tannehill versus Baltimore. Baltimore gives up the fifth most points to quarterbacks. They've really been horrible this year against the pass. And as far as Tannehill goes, he's not having the best year. But if you look at who he's played, he's only played a weak defense twice so far this year, week 3 and week 10. And in those games, he's had 576 yards and four touchdowns combined. I mean, he's had a really tough schedule as far as pass defense goes. He's only had two really weak matchups, and this is his third. So I'm loving him this week against Baltimore.
Yeah, roll the dice. I mean, you know, we talked about it since fantasy football training camp. 16 games in the season, he's usually a guy you can see 8-8 right down the middle, and you have no idea when he's going to do what. And so, again, this on-paper trend pattern reality of the situation, this is a very good matchup for Ryan Tannehill. Will he let you down? Yeah, it's a possibility, but percentage on his side. Also wanted to mention, too, about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a guy that's got some long-term value. I scooped him up this week. They got Tennessee coming to town in week 15, and then they're at Dallas in week 16. So he's got some nice long-term value if you're able to get him on your team. Who you got next, Greg?
Okay, on to the running backs that I like this week. I like Buck Allen against Miami. Miami's got a horrible rush defense this year. They're actually second worst in fantasy points allowed to running backs. And Allen, when he's getting the full load, he's getting all the touches. He's getting a few catches. I mean, he's had 43 touches the last 2 weeks. Nine of those were catches. So they're really they're putting him right in the Corsett's role, and he's kind of taking it and running with it. So I'm loving him against the weak defense in Miami this week.
Yeah, my only concern about Allen, which, man, I really wish it wasn't the case. He would have helped knock off a team I needed last week. Terrence West chewed into his work. And Allen last week, he only had 13 carries. That number is of concern to me, you know, 55 yards. But if it's only 13 carries, you know, now you're banking on a goal line TD. And his was a reception out of the backfield. We know that Schaub is checking it down. But, you know, without him getting all the work, I mean, hey, it may have only been about 25 yards or so, but that would have bumped his numbers up towards 80 yards and helped his numbers. That's my only concern. I like Allen. I think owners should have been very encouraged by the, 14 points he gave you off the waiver wire. But West chewing into his work is a concern.
Definitely. Okay, next, I'm loving Doug Martin against Atlanta. Atlanta has got a really stout pass defense, but their run defense is third worst against running backs. They've allowed 13 rushing touchdowns this year. And they're feeding Doug the ball as much as he can handle. He's got 65 touches in the last three. had that huge 200-yard game 2 weeks ago. Last week he didn't get that many carries, but he still turned it into 100 yards. So I'm liking Doug Martin this week because I'm thinking Winston's going to have trouble throwing the ball. They're going to have to lean on Doug a little more. So I like Doug to hit the end zone once or twice this week.
Yeah, he's got some serious momentum rolling, 3 yards short of 100 yards last week. And interesting, with Atlanta, they do have those rushing touchdowns, but they're also, I don't know what they're ranked now, they probably could have only dropped to 2 or 3, but they were actually ranked number 1 against the run prior to that Vikings game last week. So even though they're giving up the rushing touchdowns, not a lot of yards there. But, you know, Tampa's run D is tough. I touched on that earlier, Greg. I think him and Freeman both good enough all-purpose that, you know, they'll find their way to double digits somehow for you.
So I totally agree. Okay, going on to wide receivers. I'm loving A.J. Green against Cleveland this week. Without Joe Hayden, Cleveland's got a horrible pass defense. They've given up 23 passing touchdowns this year. That's good for third worst. They've only got 5 interceptions. They're really a bad defense passing wise. And AJ Green's coming around. He's got Dalton throwing to him. So I really like AJ Green this week.
Yeah, I touched on AJ a moment ago, and like you, Greg, I think two things that really help him out. We know that Joe Hayden has been a thorn in his side in more recent matchups. Hayden is not playing in this one. And then also Tyler Eifert likely won't go, probably give AJ another 3 or 4 targets. And so I think he's an excellent play this week. Who else you got, Greg?
Okay, next. I got Brandon Marshall against the Giants. Same reason I like Fitzpatrick. I like Marshall. Marshall's having a huge year. He's got 600-yard games. He's got a TD in 4 straight. Coming up against the Giants defense, I mean, he's becoming the monster that he always was. And tell you the truth, on a side note, I saw him on Inside the NFL, and he's going to make a hell of a commentator when he's done. So I like Marshall this week.
Yeah, I check out that show sometimes too, and he does well, bring a lot of young energy to the show. Yeah, you said it. I mean, look, right now, I think when you look across the landscape, when people do their weekly rankings with Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown at the top of the ladder, you know, I certainly think it's based on targets, it's based on production and, you know, the upside, you know, potentially what they can do. You know, Julio's a guy, Antonio guy, you know, can turn a 6-yard, you know, slant into the 60-yard touchdown. But Brandon Marshall, you just named it, you know, right now he's as strong of a start at wide receiver as any of those guys, especially with the double-digit targets and his red zone. He's probably got the biggest red zone presence out of all those guys we just named. So, man, I really love what he's doing. I mean, he is really giving owners a bang for their buck, getting picked up somewhere probably between rounds 5 and 7, you know, depending on how many teams were in your draft.
Yeah, if I had a regret for the draft, I regret putting B-Marsh so low on my list. I mean, I thought that, you know, Fitzpatrick was going to be shaky, or whoever the quarterback was going to be in the Jets at the time. I thought he was going to be shaky. I thought he was going to lose value, but boy, were we wrong. Oh, man, he's really blown it up this year. Okay, next, I like T.Y. Hilton playing Pitt this week. Another thing about T.Y., he might be having an off year, people might think, but he's only played 3 good matchup bottom 10 defenses this year. And, I mean, Pitt is going to be his 4th. They allow 4th most points to wide receivers in fantasy. And he's developing a rapport with Matt Hasselbeck. He had 12 targets last week. He had a couple of touchdowns. So I think they're going to keep rolling with T.Y. Hilton. I think Hasselbeck's going to keep looking for him this week. I like him this week against Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, unless something goes extremely wrong, you expect for the scoring to be up in this one, which is definitely going to play into Hilton's favor against a very young and undisciplined secondary for Pittsburgh. I think it's interesting, too. You know, he's been a little bit erratic with Hasselbeck in there. And so you are certainly hoping they can build on last week. Tampa had a very weak secondary, and they exploited it. I think he can certainly do the same. Who you got next, Greg?
Okay, next I got Travis Kelce. He's playing Oakland. Oakland's bad against the tight ends. They're bad against passers in general. They're giving up 290 passing yards a game. Kelce's actually 4th in total targets. He's got in the end zone last week. I expect that trend to continue against Oakland, who's given up 9 touchdowns to tight ends this year. It's the most in the league. For some reason, they just can't be the tight end. And Kelce's one of the best ones, so he got a great matchup this week. I think he'll be the tops in the leaderboard. He'll be up near the top of the leaderboard by the end of Sunday.
Yeah, it's just a great matchup. That's exactly what it is, Greg. Like I said, I expect for some points to get put on the board out there in Oakland, and I expect for him to be a beneficiary.
Okay, now you mentioned about Eifert. I know he didn't practice again this today. If he does play, I love him. I mean, week 8, he played Cleveland. He had 3 touchdowns. He's got 12 on the year. He's only 11th in tight end targets, but like I said, he's got 12 touchdowns. He's doing really good. If he plays, try and plug him in. You'll have to keep an eye on the injury report. You might get the dreaded game time decision on him. So keep an eye out for him, but I like him if he does play.
Yeah, I think the only concern there, too, you know, if he plays neck injury, you know, he's blocking, you know, would they limit the snaps? If they do, I think they're smart enough to play him in the red zone only. I just would have to think that Cleveland would be stupid to let it happen again. So maybe because he burnt them so bad last time, they give him some extra attention. But he's been solid all year long.
Right. Okay, got a couple of defenses that I like if you're into the streaming. Well, Arizona's probably taken. I love them against St. Louis this week. Their defense has 15 picks. I got 3 touchdowns. I got a couple of safeties. St. Louis, bottom 5 offense in the league. So I'm loving Arizona this week against St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an obvious thing. I think the only thing that's a little bit bothersome with Arizona, they don't seem to cash in and capitalize on these matchups with a big enough point that you would expect. And so let's hope they can do that. You know, I mean, again, this should be a very simple right now. Rams a very simple riddle to figure out, you know, limit Gurley and that's it. So, you know, hopefully a couple pick sixes, they can, you know, kind of give owners what they've really been looking for.
Exactly. I hear you there. I love the Chiefs against Oakland. Last 4, Chiefs have averaged only 200 passing yards given up a game in the last 4. They're playing really tough. They've really come around. You know, they started out so bad, and I mean, they got a fire in their belly right now. They're really making a push. The big division game, I think they knocked the crap out of Oakland this week.
Yeah, you know what? I think that one's going to be competitive, Greg, and I'm actually going to, you know, be a little bold here. I think that Oakland is going to be able to move the ball. You know, like I said, I'm thinking that game is going to find itself around 31-27, you know, even if it's Kansas City getting up early and kind of causing them. I think the Raiders are going to, you know, try to attack them through the air. We know Justin Houston's a little banged up, and so, you know, I think it'll be interesting. Like you said, Chiefs defense definitely been playing a lot better, but something just tells me the scoring is going to be up in that ball game. But you know, if they can get some sacks, some interceptions, then it should be well worth it.
Definitely. I mean, plus the division game. I mean, the division games, they can go either way. You know, you play the same team twice every year. You learn their ins, you learn their outs. So, but I'm loving KC anyway. Houston and Buffalo, that's my last pick of the week. I love Houston this week. They're coming around, too. They're actually 10th in points allowed. They're 10th in sacks. I think they're going to get after Buffalo this week. J.J. Watts is playing lights out. I mean, as shown last week against Breeze. I mean, he was all over Breeze. And I love Houston this week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, another game where, assuming the defensive struggle. I think, though, right now, that's it. You know, I think J.J. Watt has put himself on Front Street. Everybody, you know, now is tuning in just to see, you know, how dominant he could be. And he's done just that. And, man, the Bills got their work cut out trying to defend him, which is really led over to their defense in general, playing extremely well. So I like their prospects, too. All right, Greg, thanks so much for coming on the show. As always, before we get out of here, Greg, let them know where they can find you. And, I certainly like some of the stuff that I heard this week.
Thanks, Lance. I appreciate it. I love coming on the show. I appreciate you having me. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/GregLaFortune, or on Twitter, FFB, start or sit. Hit me up with any lineup questions, whenever. That's where you can find me.
All right. Sounds good, Greg. All right. Well, look, we're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up on the NFL Exporter website, NFLExporter.com. We're on that fantasy football page, and we're going to talk about some trends and patterns that are firmly fixed in place that should help you out with your Week 13 matchups. It's the NFL Exporter, Extra Points. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to Extra Points. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, man, this felt like it was a strong show. I feel like the information that was brought to you guys today should really, really be helpful in figuring things out for Week 13. Before we finish the show up, We're back on NFLExporter.com. We're on the fantasy football page. Great show, man. Like I said, I had a chance to break, kind of run through all the games, mix in, you know, fantasy football, stock market, top 51 players that are going to impact your fantasy playoffs, your top starting sits. Let's jump over to some trends and patterns now. And, you know, it's important. You know, I mean, look, we talked about Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's kind of etched in stone at this point that these guys, and, you know, I guess most quarterbacks, you know, but for sure, if you look off the and look at the drop off in their production from when they're playing like Jacksonville or the Ravens to, you know, Denver or the Chiefs or Arizona, it's astounding. It's a huge drop off. So, you know, that's why these trends and patterns are so important to me, and why I think going into the playoffs, I'm gonna tell you guys, you know, if I didn't learn anything from last year, is that, you know, in the playoffs and maybe even in particular, you know, your semifinal round, your championship round, you got to trust your instincts, and going with the same guys you've been going with all year may not be the way to go. You know, I mean, you may have to sit a big name player if the matchup isn't there. I know it's really risky. Again, it's unconventional, but you really have to play the percentages and matchups, and especially in weeks 16 and 17, you know, for teams, especially who know they have a shot to playoffs. I mean, games are meaningless. The ball's getting flung around. Stats are bolstering in some games that have no importance. Meanwhile, some games that may really, you know, decide a division or something like that, those games, defense is a lot tighter. You know, stats aren't as bouldering. So I just, you know, I'm going to really be preaching flexibility to everybody and just paying attention to the trends and patterns. So without further ado, let's hit that real quick and go ahead and get this week 13 underway with Green Bay and Detroit. All right. So real quick, look, Shady McCoy's turned into a top 10 running back. Like I mentioned, Carlos Williams out with a shoulder injury. McCoy four straight. He's an all-purpose monster. Shady McCoy has always been a back. You constantly hear me vouching for this man, because when you run for 1,600 and 1,300 yards back-to-back seasons, the latter, that 1,300 year behind a makeshift offensive line, to me, he just got a raw deal, man, coming into this season, man, not getting the value and the credit he deserves. He's fully over that hamstring injury. And Shady McCoy is getting 20-plus touches. He's going to produce. End of story. He's a guy prime and ready for the playoffs. A couple secondaries we're going to throw at you for sure. Baltimore Ravens. We mentioned Tannehill having a great matchup this week. Philadelphia Eagles as well. Those are secondaries that are not playing well. They haven't played well all season. They're not going to start playing well all of a sudden. So, again, look at the matchup. If you see the Ravens, if you see the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on the schedule, you know, as long as the quarterback is respectable enough, you know what I'm saying, do not be afraid to play that matchup. And if you have a good quarterback and that matchup is coming up, you circle that with a huge highlighter on your calendar, because, like I said, a guy like Matt Stafford playing New Orleans and San Francisco in weeks 15 and 16, you cannot find a better matchup than that. Now, we can't help what he does, but you, based on the trend in value, you are not going to find a better matchup than that, especially with the way the Detroit Lions defense is playing much better right now. A couple run defenses I want to throw at you that are tough right now. So that means if you got an opposing running back and maybe he's not an all-purpose guy, watch your step. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New York Jets, Seattle Seahawks, you know, all of those run defenses, very tough. They're not giving it up. Minnesota's respectable enough against the run. And the Baltimore Ravens, and they're the tricky one, because obviously their team's been ravaged by injuries on offense. Their secondary is poor, but one thing that's held true is they're tough against the run. Right now, the Denver Broncos running backs are surging ahead. With Brock Osweiler in there, Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson, huge boost in value. I think right now you can feel comfortable playing both of those guys in the same lineup in the right matchup. And I think this week against at San Diego is the perfect opportunity. I think right now, out of all of the backs that you may try to run your committee with right now, those guys had the most upside because they're both flourishing. Denver's being more committed to the run, kind of like last year. Their offensive line is kind of finding themselves now late in the season. Dominant defense, so they're going to keep, you know, they're going to have the football a lot. And Osweiler running from under center is doing these guys wonders. So definitely those Denver running backs are surging right now. We touched on it. You know, T.J. Yeldon, Frank Gore, not living up to expectation. These guys are religiously getting anywhere from 16 to 20 touches per week. You know, I see Gore 18, 16, and then I guess that's why he's worn out. You know, they tried to ride him. It hasn't worked, and now he's tired. So he's wearing down. And Yeldon, you know, you don't see Jacksonville committed to the run. Last week, they had a second and one, and they chose to throw the football on both downs. So just poor play calling, and, you know, he's definitely not getting enough attention inside the red zone. Too many teams right now. 80% of your touchdowns last week in the NFL came from passes. Teams not being committed enough to the run. And that is hurting fantasy football running backs' value in a big-time way. Lastly, the Chiefs and the Bears, I think these guys definitely are in that running back committee. And Andy Dalton, he's a guy who spreads the wealth around. So I think if Eifert is out this week, huge boost to A.J. Green. Meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger is a guy who's lighting the airways up. 450 last week. He's had a couple games prior to that up towards 400 yards. He's going to be a strong start in the fantasy football playoffs for you as well. All right, look, man, I'm out of here. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Hit that website, NFLExporter.com. Go to that fantasy football page and check out a lot of the stuff that I covered today. And it's going to go a long way. We're going to post extra points up on there to kind of direct you through the information you've seen. But it's that time. Everybody, I wish you the best of luck here in Week 13. Facebook.com/NFLExporter. That's spelled NFLExporter. Shouting out everybody in those Facebook leagues over there, in the War Zone, in Killer Instinct, in the Guts and Glory Money League. That's where you can find me. That's the best place that you can find me to get advice. We're upwards of 2,000 fantasy owners over there, and we're getting ready for Week 13. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I am the NFL Exporter, Lance Goodman, signing out from Los Angeles, California, Dave and Buster's 1100.